doesn't Christianity crush diversity? But if you thought I was going to preach on that, you're mistaken. Actually, our brother Winston is going to be sharing on this topic today. So I want us to put on our thinking caps, open our eyes and our hearts for what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And can we welcome Winston as he comes to share?
Amen. Yeah.
Thanks, Winston.
You see, finally preaching here. Everything that is was for, you know. So, Christianity is the world's largest religion, and it is projected that it will still be by the year 2060. Christianity is growing very, very strongly in Asia, Latin America, Africa, and the gospel is finding its way even in the Muslim country. This means that Christianity is interacting with so many people across the world, and by this interaction, Christianity is still influencing the culture of all these people. And some people are asking the question, will Christianity crush diversity? When I was studying to prepare the sermons, I was surprised that a lot of people reject Christianity because they think that Christianity is a white European religion that demands a total conformity. And those people that had problem and have this view of Christianity, they go to accept the Muslim religion or some religion that connects them with their own cultures. We all know that in the Western Hemisphere, the Bible and Christian theology has strongly influenced philosophers and activists. Some historians have said that John Calvin was the virtual founder of the United States of America. Christianity has influenced our sexuality and the family life in America. The church has been a major source of social service for schooling, founding the most famous university in this country. And even modern science is based in the teaching of Christianity. So Christianity is, throughout the Western world, has always been constantly influenced the society where we live on. And Dr. Rebecca McLaughlin said, if I can put it there, while Christianity held a monopoly on Western culture never held a monopoly on Christianity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this rainy morning. And thank you, Lord, because you have given us another day to come closer to you, to learn from you, to spend time with the people that we love, with our friends. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in this morning here, Lord, to listen to your word. Father, I am asking you for you to open our minds, our hearts, and that we can understand the message of the cross and how you can change everybody to put their trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I would like to read a very special text that gives us a very, very clear view about diversity. Revelation 7:9. After this, I look, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. This is a beautiful picture, right? Full of harmony, unity, and people worshiping the Lord, submitting to the Lord from every nation, tribe, and language, are standing together in front of Christ. All of them, look at this, are dressed equally in white robes. It is interesting that we all in heaven will be wearing the same dress. I have this shirt, and I'm wearing this shirt on purpose. This is what we call a guayabera in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic. For us, this shirt is the equivalent of the European suit. We can use the shirt to go into a very formal business meeting, to church, because of the climate, as you know, it's hot in the Caribbean. And this is about what my culture, you know. But in heaven, the only culture will be the culture of the kingdom of God. Everybody is going to be wearing the same dress. No more ties. No more jackets, right? We don't have to come to church begging Pastor Nathan. He's calling here, you know.
You don't want to go to the other.
Sadly, this passage is talking about the end of time. We are not there yet. But it shows without any doubts that heaven is for all people, from all nations, from all cultures. God's plan is to unite everybody under his kingdom. God's plan has always been about diversity. But this is God's plan. Has the church always embraced diversity? Does the Bible encourage diversity? What does the Bible tell us about diversity in God's kingdom? I would like to start with my first point. And it is that God's promise to Abraham. God called Abraham and made with him the first covenant in the Bible. This is the first covenant before the law and the prophets. And this covenant is the promise that the people of the earth will be blessed through him, through Abraham. Genesis 12:3, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. Here, Abraham is blessed, and that blessing includes the promise that his name will have a great name, meaning he will have a great reputation, that he will become a great nation, that he will have a lot of descendants. Furthermore, Abraham himself will be a blessing. And this blessing is that through Abraham, all nations on earth will be blessed. The blessing of Abraham finds its ultimate fulfillment in the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. And Paul tied this blessing in the book of Galatians, saying that it is those who have the same kind of faith that Abraham had that are truly children of Abraham, including the Gentiles. I know that this word Gentiles, for a lot of people, what does that mean? Gentile means, you know, it's the way that the Jewish people used to call anybody that wasn't Jews. Okay? So I am a Gentile. You are a Gentile. Jeff is not a Gentile because he's Jews, right? And that this is the fulfillment of the blessing of Abraham, God's promise that through Abraham, all people, including the Gentiles, will be blessed. Because of this, Paul is very clear about the fact that in Christ, there is no Jews, there is not Gentiles. Galatians 3:28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. All believers from all nations in Christ are one. God has always been about diversity. Amen? My second point. Jesus calls people from different backgrounds. Remember that the Jews, they were feeling kind of superior because God called them as the special people to bless the whole nation. And they were, you know, they will treat the Gentile, you know, like, you are there, I am here, I am special. Especially if those people were Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritan, they have this issue, this problem with them. They were kind of close cousins. And the problem, one of the problems that they had was where the temple of God was supposed to be. That was one of the biggest problems that they have. They have kind of the same religion, but the Samaritans, they have, you know, a lot of different things from their own religion, different places, plus the Jewish religion. And the Jews were saying, no, the temple is supposed to be on Mount Zion. The Samaritans say, no, it's in Mount Gerizim. The Jews built the temple on Mount Sinai. The Samaritans built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. And there was a very hot topic between them and the time of Jesus. And the Jews will avoid any contact with the Samaritan, as you know. Jesus was very always looking for those that needed salvation. And allow me to say that Jesus was very interested in fixing the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. And the first step that Jesus takes is that he decides to cross the Samaritan territory. And he is tired. And he gets to the well of Jacob and tells the disciple, let me rest here. Go to the city and find some food. A very peculiar woman come to fetch water. And I say peculiar because, as you know, this woman has certain issues with her romantic past life. Okay? She, you know. And Jesus asked this water. This woman come to fetch water from the well, and Jesus asked, water. The conversation starts, and Jesus lead the conversation to the spiritual need that this woman have. And when the disciples come from the city, they are very, very surprised that Jesus is talking with this woman, to a Samaritan woman. And Jesus is trying to open the mind of the disciple for the idea that the gospel was for everybody, from people, for all nations. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord knew. Do you think that we are full of prejudice? Let's be honest. Huh? We are, right? We have a lot of prejudice, right? Especially in America. In America, you have to be careful of everything that you say because people get offended. But let's be real. We all have prejudice against other people. And Jesus knew this. When other people behave, talk, and act differently than you, you tend to judge them. And you tend to put them in one place. And somehow we feel like we are the only one special. That our culture is superior to those other people. And Jesus, to make sure that we do not forget the commitment to go to all nations, to share the gospel, he gave us a command, the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The command is, while you live your daily life, while you go to work, while you have friends, while you go to wedding, when you go to traveling, make sure to share this gospel with everybody. And by the way, in Greek, the word nation, ethnos, means all people. It can even be translated ethnicity. Jesus is saying, I want you, during your daily life, to share the gospel to everybody. And to make sure that the disciple understood that he was serious to include everybody, people from all nations, before ascending to heaven. He repeated the commands. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And look what Siri appeared here. And Samaria, and to the end of the earth. He is giving them how to fulfill the Great Commission, right? First, the requirement is that the Holy Spirit have to come upon you and give you power. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Second, the first cities that you're going to share the gospel is Jerusalem. Then you're going to expand to Judea. But look at this. The third city is not another city from Israel. It's Samaria. The people that they don't want to get together, they don't want to interact. Jesus is saying, I want you to go there and preach the gospel to these people and then go to all the earth, everywhere. Jesus is telling us this gospel is not for you to keep it for yourself within your own people. is to share to everybody.
My third point, the birth of the church was diverse. If you read Acts 2, 8, and 11, I'm not reading it because this is a long passage and because of the time, we have so many things to do today. But you know the story. And if you don't know the story, please go to your house and have a look at it. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were together. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And waiting for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to give them power. And the passage tells us that people from different parts of the world were present. Peter gave a great message about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And on that day, thousands of people from different countries accepted the Lord. This pastor destroyed any doubts the people have about real Christianity crushing diversity. We see people from different countries and cultures being accepted in the church. God is telling us the gospel is for everybody. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. In Acts chapter 8, Philip is led by the Spirit to share this gospel, the gospel with this Ethiopian man, a eunuch. This man accepts Christ and is baptized. This man is a man of color. This man is from Africa. And by the way, the church of Ethiopia is one of the oldest churches in the planet, in Africa. This is important for us to have in mind. The Gentiles then are getting the Holy Spirit. They are being saved. But there was a group of people. Have you noticed that every time that the Holy Spirit is doing something, somebody comes with a new idea trying to improve what the Holy Spirit is doing? Huh? This group of people came saying, we have to control the Gentiles. We have to control the people from another nations. They were saying, for those people to be Christian, they have to act like us. They need to believe like us. They have to follow the rules of Moses. And they were going church to church, talking with people, trying to make the believers from other cultures to act and think like them, to dress like them most likely. The news spread. It's a problem. The leaders of the new church in Jerusalem decide to get together to deal with the Gentiles in the church. Remember, this meeting is very important because it will set precedent for the place that the Gentiles' culture will soon take. After considering all the facts, after talking with each other, the council decided to put in practice what St. Augustine said before even St. Augustine said it. St. Augustine said, in the essential, unity. In the non-essential, diversity. They decided not to put any burden on the Gentiles. Paul the Apostle, he was commissioned to share the gospel with the Gentile. And he traveled more than 10,000 miles spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel. And he said in Colossians 3:11, here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all. And in all. This is the Christ in Brazil, in the mountains of Brazil. And they decided to put different flags
during the time of COVID. But I think this picture represents Christianity affecting everywhere. In Christ, there is no white. In Christ, there is no Latino. In Christ, there is no African, no Asian. I am not brown. You are no, none of those things are in Christ. The church can never be a racist place. Never. This is the most crazy idea for somebody to come to church thinking that he is special because of where he's come from. And yes, you have to feel proud of your culture. You have to. Because there's good things in your culture, you know. I have a lot of good things in my country, but there's a lot of good things in my country that we really need to, you know. And I think in your too. In Christ, we are all just saint believers. We are Christian. That's it. In Christ, Christ made us one of him. We should salute the image of God that each of us has. Why you don't tell somebody next to you, I salute, oh, you have the image of God on you. Say it to somebody next to you. You have the image of God on you. I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, that when the Koreans do this, they're doing this because they are acknowledging the value that you have as a human being. I don't know if this, but this is a beautiful thing that we should do as a Christian, right? You have value. You are beautiful. Amen? You are worthy. We should all act in that way. The Bible is clear that the gospel is for everyone, all nations, all cultures. But what happened after the Bible? What happened with the early fathers of the church? Well, and I like this part. Long before Europe ever heard of Jesus Christ, African and other nations were preaching the gospel and getting baptized. The first Christian theologian were people of color, people from Africa. Origen of Alexandria, Tertullian, St. Augustine, all of them are considered the earliest fathers of the church, and there were people of color from North Africa. But what about the present date? Well, it is said that unlike the other major world religions, Christianity has long since broken free from its center and find itself far more diverse, far more widespread, and far less segregated than any other religion. According to some data, China has 93 million of Christians. And by the year 2030, it's expected that China will have the biggest population of Christians in the whole planet together with Africa. Africa, 631 million. Asia Pacific, 258 million. Latin American, 600 million. Today, Korea is sending more missionaries than any other group. The vast majority of Christians, and please, white people, I am just saying this because a lot of people think that Christianity is a white religion, okay? I don't want you throwing a stone to me after I service, okay? They are not white. In fact, the majority
of Christians are women of color. Christianity is growing. But not only that, you see, when you are preparing your sermon, there's so many things that you want to keep in the sermons, and then you have to say, no, this one cannot, no, this one cannot, oh, I want to say this, no, and then you're always struggling with what you want to keep because of the time. But allow me to read this. The missionary changed, and listen to this, changed the whole world. The gospel of Christ. In an article in American Political Science Review from May 2012, demonstrate historically and statistically that conversionary Protestants heavily influenced the rise and spread of a stable democracy around the world. It argues that missionaries were a crucial catalyst. Did I pronounce that right? Catalyst? Catalyst? You know, I don't speak English. Yeah, you know. Catalyst initiating the development and spread of religious liberty, mass education, mass printing, newspaper, voluntary organization, and colonial reforms, thereby creating the condition that made a stable democracy more likely. I mean, there was the one country in Africa that asked the Southern Baptist to send missionary to the country. You know why? Because they discovered those missionaries, they always teach other children how to read, how to write. They, you know, they bring hospital. They bring clean water. They create school. They do so many things for the community when they come that we want you people to come. So we talk about the promise of Abraham, the way that Jesus dealt with people from other culture. The birth of the church was a diverse occurrence. The early father and the missionary. So what is the real issue? Why exactly do so many people see a distorted version of Christianity? And yes, brothers and sisters, Christianity have committed in the past things that we really should be ashamed. We cannot deny that. But allow me to suggest that the real issue is not a cultural thing. I think that the real issue, the real problem with Christianity being attractive to other people is us, Christians. The way how we fail to live our lives according to what Jesus is asking from us. Constant judgment. Exclusion. Side eyes. Oppressions. Lack of compassion. Lack of love. Lack of fighting for justice, for what is right. Rejecting others when Christ is the one that die for those people that you are rejecting in church. Condemning others for the sins that they are doing, and sometimes those sins we used to do, and even still we are struggling and doing in secret. The real issue is sins. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I do not like you, Christian." Sins distort diversity and create racism. And sin has divided humanity, creating violence, Sin has made man abuse the woman. Sin has created so many suffering. Sin do the same to all people from all culture. Sin doesn't have an exclusive address in certain country. All culture have the same problem, and all culture need Christ to be saved. All culture are declared guilty, enemy of God, if they don't have Christ in their heart. It's not us Dominican. It is you people from Jamaica too. It is the Brazilian. It's the Anglo-Saxon. We all are sinners. And we all need to come to God. As Christians, we need to give testimony with our life. When non-Christians see our action, they should ask, why they do talk like this? Why do they live like that? What is the force that make them love each other? Why are they willing to walk with me in this time of tribulation and struggle? What is moving them? When they see that we are trying to imitate Christ, then Christ will become attractive to them. I want to have what you have. I want this Christ that is changing your life. And the only way to do this is when we decide to take God seriously. Do you remember how the last book of the Bible paints a picture of the end of time? When a great multitude of people from every culture, every language, will be worshiping God? Do you remember? I mean, we read that one, right? Because God's end plan is to save everybody. I have good news, Limbro Baptist Church. Because this church is very diverse. So allow me to show you something. I prepared some people that are going to come here. Now is the time to come. People from different culture. And I asked them to dress. Where is Julius? She was just here, you know. Just to give you a little example of how diverse we are. And I would like to give 30 seconds to each of them to say something about what they're wearing. Right? You want to know, right? What they are wearing and what it means to you to be in a church that accepts you as you are. Dorothy?
I can read like this. Namaste.
Yeah, you can use the microphone. They cannot hear over there on the back.
Hi, everybody know my name is Dorothy Christian, born and raised in India, and this is the way we greet. This is what I'm wearing. It's called churidar that usually all the women of India wear. And it's most probably a cotton because of the Indian weather. And we spoke in India, they speak a lot of different language according to different state. But most probably, this is a traditional Indian outfit, and it's called churidar, and it's usually three-piece. And I can just say that we speak... We are in church from different country. We spoke in different language, but in Christ we are one.
Amen. Chinsi? By the way, what Chinsi had in the head is heavy. It's like 2 pounds.
Yes. Hi, my name is Chinsi. I'm from Igbo. That's my culture in Nigeria. This actually is made of coral. It's very heavy. After church, you can try it on. It's what people like chiefs put on, you know, in my country. For some reason, Anthony's dad, and I got it. So that is why. We have the friend. The beads are also the symbol of the, I don't have the earring. I lost one, so I couldn't wear it. But these are all attires from Igbo culture in Nigeria that have some kind of hierarchy of, you know, traditional rulers. The blouse and this thing, I tied it this way. I had to tie it around my waist, but I just made it fashionable. But this is not how we usually tie it. So, I mean, in Nigeria, we have different cultures. Julius is going to talk about his culture in Nigeria. We are from Nigeria. We don't speak the same language. In Nigeria, we have equal number of Christians and Muslims. That's why there's a power tussle. But the good thing about Christianity is that it's for everybody. It's for not just for different race. It's, everybody is invited. And the good thing about being a Christian is that you get to see God's power move. It moves in communities. It moves in families. It sets people free. You know, most times we see like Africa has a lot of poverty ridden, but those people have great faith because they know that Christ does deliver. Thank you.
Amen.
Hello. I'm wearing a church hat because I am originally from North Louisiana. I was raised Southern Baptist, so all of the church ladies wear their Sunday best and their church hats. So when Winston asked me to, you know, wear something cultural, for me, it's what I think of in representation of where I'm from in my church is Sunday best and their hats. You know, I remember that with my grandmother. So in Southern Baptist Church, obviously the music is a little bit different, but for me, that does not matter because when we worship, we just worship in spirit and in truth. And, you know, in terms of the diversity, it's just important to just make sure that you're in a loving church that loves God and where he's glorified. So I just wanted to share my culture with you today.
Wow. I thought I'm just going to wear this and stand and don't say anything, but I guess. Anyway, you know, Philippines, this is what they call barong. This is our national codes, and it's made of, the fabric is made of a pinya, is a pineapple, leaves.
Pinya?
Yeah, pinya, like, pinya. Not your last name, but.
Pineapple.
Or abaca. So, and we only wear this kind of clothes on a special occasion. And, you know, in Philippines, there's so many languages and islands and dialects that we use. And, you know, but in Christ, we are all speaking the same language. And so I'm looking forward to when heaven comes, that there one day we're going to worship in one language. And so in Tagalog, mayong hapon sa inyo tanan. That says, a good afternoon to everyone.
Good morning, church. First of all, I have to thank God for bringing me down to this church. In the first case, I have to thank everybody for what they are doing, the leaders, the pastor, everybody. I thank you very much. You are doing the thing that Jesus Christ asked us to be doing. We are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because I believe when I first got here, I find out that this church is a unique church. Because for my 50 years in this country, all the churches I've been attending, this is a unique church. It's full of passion. You know, people are, you know, lovely. They have compassion, and they love everybody. And that is what Jesus Christ asked us to do. The diversity doesn't, matter. Whether you are black or you are yellow or, you know, whatever, we are all the same in front of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And for what I've been seeing, I know that God is existing here, And also, love is existing too.
Amen.
And also, I want to just thank everybody that, you know, came to my wife's 71st birthday that came the other day time. No, I didn't expect it. But because of that church, I mean, of being there, we are a member, everybody running around us. And they, you know, help us morally and, you know, financially. I thank you very much. Now, regarding the culture, see, the dresses that I always, you know, bring to this church is from Yoruba land. Because we have so many ethnic groups in Nigeria. And I believe that is one of the reasons why we have, chaos. And also the Christian and Muslims that, are together, they are not unique enough. But I find out that because of the Christianity that is existing over there, the Muslims, they hate, what, the Christians are doing because they have trust in Jesus Christ. And that is what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
The clothes that I'm wearing, we wear it all over. When you want to go to party, when you want to go to anywhere, church, and we are full of, colorful things. So I just want to let you know now that we love everything that we are doing in that country, but because of the Muslims that are messing up everything, we are unable to, reach our goal. But we are still praying, and I want this church to pray for us for tranquility in that country.
Amen.
And I thank Amen. You very much for the little time that you give me. Thank you very much.
Thank
I
you,
appreciate
Judy. It. I'm finishing, but remember, in heaven, you cannot go looking for the color section. Okay? Where are the Dominican? Where are the Jamaican? Where are the white people? In heaven, don't go with that thing in heaven. You're going to get kicked out right there, let me finish with this quote, and the group of the worship group can come here. Rebecca McLaughlin said it beautifully. She said, Christianity is the most ethnically, culturally, socioeconomically, and racially diverse belief system, listen to this, in all history. Real New Testament Christianity do not crush diversity. God bless you.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to transition into a time